Greenback Retreat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The dollar is falling again. In fact, when you stack it up against other major currencies, it's at its lowest level since right after the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
When fears about the global economy reached fever pitch, investors fled to the safety of the dollar. Now they're doing just the opposite. To give you an idea, it's about $1.70 to the British pound right now and $1.45 to the euro. Part of that is because as corporate results improve, investors are willing to take on more risk again. Howard Wieldon, senior strategist at BGC Partners in London, says that's leading some to overseas markets.
Corporate results in the U.S. are good. The problem is that the real growth that we're seeing is limited to China, India, and indeed the Far East as a whole.
Indeed, the U.S. economy shrank 1% in the second quarter, a lower-than-expected amount, which Wieldon says investors are attributing to government spending.
The fear is that at some point when the Fed decides to move on interest rates, which it will have to do at some point, that will reintroduce inflation.
And send commodity prices higher as investors look for more profitable opportunities than the greenback. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
European markets are lower across the board right now. Shares in London and Frankfurt off about 1%, while stocks in Paris are down about 1% as well. Asian markets closed mixed today, but mostly flat. A couple of thresholds crossed on Wall Street yesterday. It hasn't happened in a while. The S&P and NASDAQ both added more than 1.5%. The S&P closed above 1,000. Hasn't happened since November. The NASDAQ closed above 2,000, and that hasn't happened since October. Dow was up more than 1% as well. Another day, the government's Cash for Clunkers program is in overdrive. The Senate will continue discussions today on whether to throw in another $2 billion. There is resistance from the GOP over government intrusion and from some Democrats who say the fuel efficiency numbers aren't tough enough. Germany's government is scheduled to hold talks today with the two final bidders for General Motors' European operations, also known as Opel. Europe is one of the world's biggest car markets, but as Jill Barchet reports, GM doesn't see a whole lot of growth potential there.
GM sees its future in Asia, South America, and the Middle East, but not Europe. Craig Fitzgerald is an automotive analyst at Plante & Moran. He says GM's decision to turn its back on Europe is a tough one.
What they are doing is de-emphasizing Europe, so they've got the capital available to support what they think are the stronger growth markets.
But Fitzgerald says GM isn't giving up on Opel or Europe altogether. It'll retain a stake in the German company.
They will try to maintain their hold on Europe while not committing significant capital to their European operations.
GM wants to pick a buyer that will agree to the closest business alliance to do things like buy parts together and share designs and technologies. The German government's throwing money into the deal too, but it has different priorities. It wants guaranteed employment for German workers. I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
There's a three-ring debate going on in Los Angeles. The city council today is expected to vote on whether to provide a $30 million federal loan to bring a new Cirque du Soleil show to Hollywood's Kodak Theater, home of the Oscars. Well, the money would help retrofit the theater for a 10-year run. The funds would come from the U.S. Housing and Urban Development through a loan program to create jobs. Backers of the show say it would create more than 900 positions, but critics argue it wouldn't be the job creator that proponents say it would be.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
During the peak of the housing boom, glossy home magazines like Dwell celebrated the rise of modern prefab architecture. These factory-built homes with clean lines and green materials promised to reshape the building industry. That is, until the housing market crashed. But that doesn't mean green prefab is dead. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sam Eaton.
Architect Leo Marmo realized his dream in this sprawling warehouse south of downtown Los Angeles to build modern prefab homes on a factory assembly line.
The steel frames themselves were put together outside on those large jigs and then literally slid into the factory to roll down this track assembly on the factory floor.
Marmol says the manufacturing process reduced construction waste by as much as 40%. And as green building began to catch on, business was looking up. Then,
when the credit market fell to pieces, the prefab market went with it.
Today, most of this 65,000-square-foot warehouse sits empty, but Marmol remains optimistic.
There's always been this utopian dream of trying to make better design more available to our communities.
Meaning more affordable, but Los Angeles Times architecture critic Christopher Hawthorne says Marmol's factory was missing a key ingredient to achieving that affordability: scale.
The prefab designs are probably more progressive in terms of sustainability than they are in terms of economics.
But some companies are adapting. Boston's Blue Homes has thrived despite the recession. It has about 50 homes currently in its pipeline and a merger with another company in the works. Co-founder Maura McCarthy says Blue Home's success is simple.
We didn't start, trying to be the Armani of homes.
They did set out to become the IKEA of homes, offering modern green design at affordable prices.
You can't have clients putting them together as much, but you can definitely have them designing them and having more influence on how to put the elements of the home together.
McCarthy says Blue Homes prefab houses cost as little as $135 a square foot. That's about half the price of Leo Marmol's models. And with energy bill savings of up to 60% compared to other houses, McCarthy says the recession isn't killing prefab. It's finally making it cost competitive. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Hey, thoughts on being green or on architecture? You can find it at our website and chime in at the Scratch Pad with online host and blogger Scott Jagow inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.